Okay, you guys, this is gonna sound crazy, but eons ago, these demons defied divine law and tried to take the place of the devil. As a punishment, they were bound together and cast out of hell. But there's always a loophole. If demons could possess seven people over the course of one Halloween night, they'd be free. And that's where Evangeline came in. When she was practicing spells, these were the demons she contacted. They tricked her into inviting people over for a seance. The demons just needed seven bodies. And as soon as the ritual started, they started possessing people. Once one person had turned, all they had to do was kiss or bite someone to possess all the rest as well. Soon six people turned into demons, and they only needed one more. But they can't use a dead body, only a living one. So when Evangeline realized she wouldn't make it till dawn, she killed herself to keep the demons from getting out.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your host, Jason Bishop, and with me today, as always, is Sam Stepanenko.
Don't make me eat your soul.
You okay? Are you okay, Sam?
Oh, sorry, I had a frog in my throat.
Okay.
I'm better now.
Okay. Whew. Wow. That was really husky.
Yeah, you know, I just woke up, so yeah, I'll be better in a bit.
Okay, good, good. Trish Coughlin.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, okay. Well, she sounded good and unpossessed. What about Jeff Omega?
I'll get you, get it.
Wow. Oh, that's a crossover we need.
Same voice. Same voice.
I will defeat the Super Friends.
You okay, Jeff? Are you okay?
Ugh. Yeah, that took a lot out of me.
Yeah, possessed by megalomania, yes. On that one. All right, well, this week we're bringing in all the horror once again for Night of the Demons from 1988. And yes, there was a remake of that in 2009. There was like a couple of sequels to the original 88 version. You know what?
That's a why we don't know question.
Yeah, yeah.
Has anyone seen them?
Actually, I'll be honest. I think that when we said we were going to do this movie, I was thinking of the sequel, The Night of the Demons 2, because that's the one I think people sort of remember, because that's the one I remember. That's the one that I see all over the place. I think that that's this first ugly mess that we saw somehow spawned a better film. I'm not going to go watch it because I'm not sure if I can do it again. But I think that that's the second one, I think, is the one that people kind of
I might
remember.
Have to, just out of pure curiosity. Mm-hmm. I don't know about number three, but I can't believe there are two sequels to this thing. This was one of those kind of minor franchise. I caught almost all of the 80s horror stuff at some point. And this one kind of passed me by. Kind of wish it just kept going.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. It has a 6.2 on IMDb, and I cannot figure out why.
Oh, it's not that bad.
No, it really is, Jeff. It really, really is.
The second one, the remake is not great, but
no.
I was saying to Leah that somehow, at least for me, this is personal preference. I know that they're both trashy, but somehow 80s trashy is a lot more palatable than late aughts trashy.
You know, I'm not sure if I agree with that. It sounds like Trish will.
I do.
At least the 2009 one, people could act. Like there's nobody in the first one that actually has any acting ability.
Although I'd say that there's a lot more charisma in the actors in the first one.
You know what? I kind of agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you. Even though the acting wasn't very good, I did connect to the characters a little bit better.
Yeah, that's true. You had a sense of who these people were. It took Sam and I good. We were texting back and forth. It was a good half hour in for each of us. And between the two of us figuring out who the girls were, because we didn't know what their names were. And I'm like, okay, there's Sam named one slutty one. I named one zombie girl.
See, I went by costume. Like there was Tinkerbell and then there was Alice.
Well, I mean, in the remake, it was like two cat girls and a zombie girl, right? Yeah. So, and they all had like made up and big tits, and they all kind of looked the same to me. And I was like halfway through the film, I'm like, wait a minute, the short one's from Freddy versus Jason.
Yes, as soon as I saw her face, though, I'm like, I had to look her up. I'm like, oh, Monica.
Sam even asked me, and it took me a while just to remember who. Like, I knew she was in the movie, I just didn't know who she was, and I couldn't tell her apart from anybody else.
Yeah. And oddly enough, she was the lead, but she was probably the least competent actor in the film.
Yeah,
I found that her line delivery and those weird smiles just didn't seem to quite fit with the rest of the movie.
No, I thought there was something really wrong with her. Like, it was like, all my friends are dying, and this is just inconvenient and pissing me off.
Exactly,
They need to establish something more, and especially when she tells that one story when she's in the room. I'm like, well, how do you know this? I thought there was going to be some, like, third act twist where she was, like, some person who's been going through the years trying to defeat these demons. Like, something weird like that.
That would have made it better.
Yeah, it was weird, because when they uncovered all that text in the room, like, some of it was in English, but most of it didn't look like it was in English. So I was like, where is she getting this from?
Just channeling.
Yeah,
that was my fuck you moment, because they had this really great setup where they noticed that there's bodies missing from the original six, and they set that up really nicely. You know, it was just sort of a comment before everything goes to hell. But then, pardon the pun, and then they get to this room and they discover that the walls are flaking away, and somehow magically they get all that plaster off in like minutes. Let me tell you, taking off plaster does not go that fast.
Yeah.
No.
Right. And then you're translating foreign languages and symbols and stuff like that. So it just completely undid that beautiful setup.
Oh, the rest of the film, it would have been like, oh, look what it all says. Well, who gives a shit? It's daylight. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that maybe if there's better acting in the second one, that the dialogue is much worse in the second one.
Yes.
But also, Edward Furlong says fuck a lot.
Yes, he does. They all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of times Edward Furlong is talking, I'm like, who's talking? Oh, wait, that is Edward Furlong.
Yeah. Yeah. Although he does get one of my favorite lines in the movie, where they're talking about people from 100 years ago, and he goes, people from 100 years ago are fucking idiots. And I can't remember what the context was, but I remember it was just like completely, it was perfectly timed, and I actually laughed out loud, like audibly, which we all know doesn't happen very often.
No, I don't know. I thought the remake was slightly more palatable. Like, I hate both these movies. They both suck. I think because the first one was so terrible, like, I was just forgiving of the terribleness in the second one. I'm like, oh, this is just the way they are. Like, this is them. That's what they do. Okay. So I had a feeling that they were trying too hard to be terrible, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if they're trying hard to be terrible. I think that in the second one, or in the reboot, I think he was trying really hard to be awesome, like in a cool, you know, bro, late 2000s kind of way.
Yes.
Like, yeah, this is going to be a great movie. Blood, tits.
Really great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. The really soundtrack is soundtrack. Good.
Yeah.
Actually,
I was just about to say the same thing there. Yeah, they're both movies. I mean, the dance scene with the Bauhaus tune, by far my favorite part of the original movie.
Yeah, like the kind of gothic rock connection that these movies have kind of makes them worthwhile. They're still a hard trek for me to get through. I thought they were both slogs at 90 minutes, but the music kind of kept me going, to be honest.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the first one is like, if Evil Dead was done by a studio and not people who were inspired to do a cool horror film, but like a studio mandated,
right?
We'll try to make the craziest horror movie ever kind of thing. But
we're not going
to
give you any money to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was fairly low budget. It was like a $1.2 million and it only had like a very small opening in, I think, Detroit, but it still wound up raking in almost $4 million just in a limited release. So, I mean, it probably would have, if it had gotten a mass release rather than a direct video release, we probably made like 30, 40 million.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly people wanted to see it. They were obviously very forgiving of its cheesiness because it felt like this is 1988. Like there was a lot of good horror by 1988. So this felt like it was made in the 70s. It's like a 70s idea that they made 10 years too late.
Yeah. I mean, boobs and gore sells, and it really did at the end of the 80s. But I think that part of it too was fairly well done was the practical effects. The demons did look really good for the time and the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what sold the movie more than anything else is the really cool effects. Yeah. We didn't get enough of them.
But yeah. There was some cool stuff. I mean, there wasn't a lot. It was a lot of like screaming and running. That was all I could really think that this movie was. It was like scream, run, stand around for a while, scream, run, stand around for a while. So there's a lot of wasted space in this movie. There's an iconic thing that, I mean, it's in both movies and I kind of dug it where with the lipstick getting shoved into the boob. It's way more disgusting in the remake because like, hey, here's the disappearing, that old chestnut, you know, the disappearing lipstick into the boob thing. And then she pulls it right out of the vagina.
And to me, that was unnecessary.
That was kind of gross.
It was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, well, so I mean, come on. They stole that from David Blaine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You know, I do think that the original one had a lot more iconic moments than the second, than the reboot did. I see the first one, the original one, I see it quoted a lot. You know, the "Am I Pretty" thing is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It had some of the demons and the way that the characters look, there is something kind of about them. That's something I kind of missed a lot in the reboot is, I don't know if they were, like, I kind of missed the iconographic aspect to, you know, they made each demon super, you know, identifiable, different colors. One of them was like bright colors in the original one.
They did that in the remake. You had the girl with the gills and you had the one with the tentacles Yeah, no face. Yeah, they were very identifiable in the remake.
Like they were identifiable, but I think that they were very, you know, messy.
Yeah, they didn't use the bright colors. They were definitely going for a little bit more of a splatter gore filled film. Was the Evil Dead remake out at this point? Because it does feel like they were just trying to go for a messier version of the original.
2009, actually, I believe so.
It was 3 years before the Evil Dead remake.
Okay, so they hadn't even got there yet. That's kind of interesting because it does feel like that they were kind of going for something like that. Let's make it a little more gorier. But the comedy feels forced in this one where I think it was just kind of natural in the original because of its badness. I don't think they were going for it so much as that was just how it was delivered and it kind of comes off funny. I think they were intentionally trying to throw in some of that cheese and recreate it and it doesn't quite work.
Well, I think in the original one, it had a sense of fun that kind of carried throughout the movie. Like at the very least, you could tell that the people making it were having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But in the reboot, I don't know if I could say the same thing. I think a lot of the movie had a really an almost predatory feel, but that's only because like it has a weird relationship with consent anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got a weird messed up, I don't know, like you say, is that the remake is like, oh, I'm going to make something that looks so cool. And it's going to be sort of style over substance.
It's like some sort of weird, I mean, honestly, the reboot is like some guy's weird, like male fantasy version the original one.
Well, I checked out, here's the thing, and this is something that bothered me, like in the remake, where the guy's having a meeting where this woman is giving him a blowjob. Now,
yeah.
I never understood why this became a thing. because it's so dumb. Because every time I see this, it completely desexualizes the guy receiving the blowjob. Because I keep thinking, if he can put it together to have a meeting when he's getting a blowjob, there's two things that are happening. Either the poor girl isn't doing a good job, or she's just wasting her time on a piece of dead meat because nothing is happening.
And they address that in the movie. I love that.
It's actually post-credit sequence. He still hasn't gone.
Oh, I didn't stay.
Yeah. Yeah. Post-credit, he still hasn't gone. She goes, gross. Are you ready yet? I mean, it's terrible that neither scene should have been in that movie.
No, totally agree.
Stupid because it's supposed to throw a little bit of jeopardy on Colin.
Unnecessarily. His character was completely unfucking necessary.
Yeah. You know, he's going to the party to sell drugs because he's got to make up a quota that he hasn't reached. And this is a very highly publicized party. So he's hoping he can make some bank at this party. But it didn't matter. It's useless.
It doesn't serve the story in any way.
You don't need the dealer. Yeah. You didn't need the blowjob at all. You could have still had him doing the same thing, trying to sell drugs. But it doesn't matter because he dies at the film anyway. So who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have just been the bad boy character like in the original.
Yeah. And why was it everybody had some sort of relationship with this dude?
Yeah.
Well, because he was a drug dealer. And I think that was the only purpose for him being sort of being well known, is because everybody knew him as a drug dealer.
No, they actually allude to the fact that a couple of them had dated, like Maddie.
Maddie and he had dated. Yeah. And Angela knew him because she kept kicking him out of her events because he was dealing drugs at her events.
I actually think they were related.
They were friends.
I thought they were brother and sister.
No.
Oh.
No, they were – he was just a skeevy drug dealer that she didn't want at her parties.
No, I thought – I literally thought they had addressed that they were related. Jeff, chime in on this one.
Yeah, because I missed that connection.
I honestly can't remember. I think that – yeah, I think that she – like it was what Sam said.
Oh, well, I mean, that is also true. But there was a thing there, but I don't know. Maybe I just misinterpreted it that – and then, of course, the demon makes it grosser, so –
yeah.
You know, I do think that the wraparound sequence of the original one is really underrated. Super great.
I did kind of like the wraparound sequence of the original. But before we get to that, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's run the trailer for the original. Actually, I'm going to do two trailers back to back because I kind of liked them both. So I'm going to share them both.
A full moon. A spooky, deserted mansion. Halloween night.
All right, dudes! And dudesses! Let's party!
10 kids. All they want to do is raise a little hell. Now, as long as they live, they'll wonder what's gotten into them. Night of the Demons.
Blessed be the sinners, for the Day of Atonement is at hand.
Stop looking at me.
Night of the Demons. Party till you drop.
A funeral parlor? Way out here?
I can't believe we're gonna party here.
Now it's time for party games.
Yeah.
How about a past life seance? A seance?
What the hell was that?
They're pure evil. They're demons.
the demons.
And rest assured, we've got something wonderful planned for you.
Okay, we were going to talk about the wraparound sequence here. And of course, this movie happens at Halloween. And that's cool because Halloween's around the corner. And, well, yeah, we can't do parties. We can't do trick-or-treating. But oh well. Remember when we used to do those things and people were handing out candy and stuff. And then you get the grumpy old man who's... Oh, yeah. That was my favorite sequence with the wraparounds. You got the grumpy old man, and then somebody tries to help him when he's pushed over and kind of bullied, but he's just unrelentingly grumpy. And he's going
to... And a bunch of dudes are pranking him for Halloween.
Yeah.
That's going to be me, by the way.
Yeah.
I am going to be that grumpy old man who's always grumpy. Just paying.
Nice.
Sounds that different for any other day? No.
It's not. It really, really isn't.
So, yeah, he's got all these apples. I wasn't sure if he was going to spike them with the razor blades or if his wife had done it at the end of the movie, but I really enjoyed the fact that he was eating an apple pie that was spiked with razor blades and this came out from inside his throat, the razor blades. I'm like, that was awesome.
So visceral too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, I'll get you tonight, kids. And then when he was picking up his apples and razor blades groceries.
Yeah.
And he got some comeuppance.
His wife's reaction. Happy Halloween, dear.
Yes. Yeah.
It was like very creep show.
It was. Yes. And I kind of like that. Maybe that's where the inspiration came from.
It does raise the question is, did he chew? Because I don't know about you, but if I only hit like a metal razor blade in my mouth and I bit down on it, I think I'd recognize before I swallowed a whole razor blade.
Yeah.
Out of all the things that doesn't make sense.
Well, no, there's all kinds of things, but that's just one of many questions I have about this movie.
You know what? Maybe the entire movie is a guy was like, we have this idea for a special effect. A guy eats razor blades and razor blades explode out his throat. And they say, that doesn't make any sense. And they're like, all right, well, we need to push the audience's expectation further and further and further so we can come back around to this one idea till they'll accept it.
I'll buy that. Yeah. I'll totally buy that.
There you go.
And you know what's funny is you mentioned the parties, Jay. And I do have to say is in the original, that party was far more realistic than the party in because I have never, ever been to a party like the one that they had that house.
Yes, you have. We've been to it together.
We've been to a party at a house like that, but the party
was
not like that.
Flyers and there was bands and we've been to some pretty cool house party ragers, man. That didn't seem too out of the realm to me.
I mean, there's a lot happening in that party that I've never seen at a party. But yeah, the general idea of
It was a movie party. Yeah,
it was definitely a movie party.
Yeah.
Whereas the one in the original was like more of the parties that I've been to, a dozen or so people hanging out, drinking beer, arguing with each other, maybe hoping to hook up with the girl that you don't really know, or the guy you don't really know. That's what a party usually is.
Well, we've been to the well publicized party where a bunch of strangers show up and then get kicked out or you get chased out, but
or you get chased out by them. Yes,
that's a story for a different day. We survived the experience.
The biggest party could get is somewhere in the middle of those two.
So I've been to both of those parties.
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
The more comfortable party is definitely the first one.
Until the demons come.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been to that party yet.
No.
As far as you know.
With the head spinning around and puking and stuff. Maybe. But, come to think of it, maybe I have been to that party. I just didn't know.
People growling inappropriate things. Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah.
That's a party.
Yeah. Okay, well, there were a whole bunch of people at this party, and Night of the Demons from 1988 was directed by Kevin Tenney, who is the creator and director of the Witchboard series as well. Witchboard and Night of the Demons are kind of his thing. Written by Joe Augenstein, who wrote the sequel to this movie, but we have a connection that I never thought we'd ever see. Thank you, Sam, for pointing this one out because he was the production coordinator for an episode we covered, episode 46. Holy shit.
Hard Rock Zombies.
We have a connection to Hard Rock Zombies, I think, for the first time ever.
And possibly the only.
Yes. Because I don't think a lot of people went on to do anything after that movie.
No.
But the funny thing is these films are of a type.
They are of a type, yes.
Yeah.
Generally, if you keep working, you're kind of working on other horror movies. This movie stars Kathy Podwell as Judy, and she was an Earth Angel. Alvin Alexis was Roger. He was in The Wiz. Alvin Havens was Stooge. He was in Witch Trap, which comes out between Witchboard and Witchboard 2. I don't know. Is that part of like the franchise?
I think it was the same people, but it was like kind of a spinoff, but not part of it.
Okay, I just don't know enough about the Witchboard series. I think I've seen the first one, but I don't remember anything.
Oh, man. You know what? Witchboard 1 is fun, but Witchboard 2 is a journey.
And I was about to say exactly the same thing, Jeff. I remember quite enjoying Witchboard 1, and I remember turning Witchboard 2 off.
Oh, no. Witchboard 2 is a journey in the best way.
No, I didn't enjoy that one. But maybe I'll have to revisit it.
It's fun. It's bad, good.
See,
it's good, bad.
I have to be in the right mood for bad, good, or good, bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Allison Barron was Helen. She was in Patriot Games. At least there's somebody there with in some good movies.
Yeah.
Harold Ayer was the old man, but he had actually quite a career stretching back to the Third Man. Billy Gallo was Sal. He was in Pretty Woman, which, even though it's famous, is just as much of a train wreck as this movie. Fight me.
For different reasons.
But. Yes. Karen Erickson was Judy's mom, barely in this movie, but I wanted to mention her because she was in a wonderfully titled film called Return of Count Yorga. He was on vacation and he came back. Have you really? Who the fuck has heard of that movie? Jeff has.
I actually think I might have that on DVD.
It's on Tubi right now.
Oh my God.
When did it come out?
Who knows?
In the 70s, like mid-70s, I think. I considered adding it to my watch list for this year's 31 Days of Horror, actually.
Please do. I need to know what this is about, or I'll just make something up. Lance Fenton was Jay, and he was actually in one of my favorite movies of the year, and probably Sam's as well. Actually, he introduced me to Heathers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love Heathers.
I love Heathers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Donnie Jeffcoat was Billy. He was in Ghoulies 2.
Ooh.
I know. Ooh. Hard to believe, but Linnea Quigley is probably the most famous person in this movie as Suzanne, who was in a ton of B and C level movies, but made her claim to fame came from Return of the Living Dead.
Vice Academy was a big one. Yeah. It had a porn star in it, but I think that was Ginger Lynn's studio film debut, and I think a lot of people saw it just because of that.
Well, and then don't forget about Linnea Quigley's horror workout.
Right. Fun thing about Ginger Lynn, like, you tune into a studio one, it's like, God damn, I can't wait to see her act with her clothes on.
Exactly. But people did.
Yeah.
Amelia Kincaid was Angela, and Angela's actually in all three of these movies. That's kind of her claim to fame, was being in the Night of the Demons movies. Jill Terashita was Franny. She was in Sleepaway Camp 3.
Nice.
Philip Tanzini was Max. Mary Den was the old man's wife. James W. Quinn was Clerk Number 1, and he was also in Witchboard. And then Clark Jarrett, Clerk Number 2. And that is literally the entire cast.
Yeah. I want to talk about Clerk Number 1 because he also did the voice for the demon.
Nice.
That is actually untrue. Uncredited was Fred Welker.
Oh, because in his IMDb bio, if you read further, he was there. I guess they shared the credits.
Well, there was more than one demon as well, so it's very likely that is also true. But Frank Welker was an uncredited demon voice as well.
There we go.
Yes.
Probably the Dr. Claw one.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Angela because she was probably the best actor in the original.
Yes.
Yeah, and she got the most lines, and I mean, best actor saying something, but
yeah, I totally agree. I'm not saying that she was great, but she was by far the most watchable of all of them.
Yeah, I found her the most compelling to look at and watch and be around.
Yeah, I thought so too. I'd agree with that.
It's sad where it's like Angela's the one person who's like first possessed is the thing, but like the quote unquote final girl is not interesting enough.
Oh, she was awful. And they wasted that character. She was the virginal character, and they didn't do anything with that.
No.
They really did nothing with it.
Nope.
That was their end to make the story at least remotely interesting.
At least there was a plot device that kind of kept these demons contained, and then they can kind of roam free on Halloween. That rules in both, but they had the underwater stream, can't cross. Mm-hmm. And that's actually lore. Demonic entities can't cross running water, vampires specifically. So it was interesting that they used that somewhat. I thought that might come more into play in the climax, but they just had to make it till dawn.
Yeah, in both movies, really.
Yeah.
They had to get over the wall where the running water was underneath, apparently. That's what I heard through dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do replace that with lore in the remake, because they talk about the iron and the rust, which is also lore as well.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. That's more attached to the Fae, but iron and rust. And it gives a little more opportunity for a more action-orientated horror. So you could have some combat, grab some rusty nails, wrap some rusty wire around your fist. They did all of that stuff.
Gun. Yeah.
Yeah. The nail gun.
At the end.
Oh. Genius, impractical, and no way possible.
Stupid. Probably would have blown up in her face.
But fun to watch. Yeah. It was very much fun to watch.
There's a thing with a non-gun that was done better in a movie called Dead and Breakfast. So check that out.
I love Dead and Breakfast.
There's a lot of really... One thing I will say about the remake is there was a lot of things that were done very well. However, it all kind of falls back to the director, really. There were some cool makeup. Some of them weren't as good as others, but they were all kind of, shot in that AVP kind of way a little bit, a little shaky cam, little dimly lit kind of. There's some interesting stuff going on. There are some people performing very well at their jobs, but none of it was very cohesively put together at the end of the day. There is a similar budget for other movies that have come out in theaters that feel bigger than this movie. And the director of this movie feels like he can only pull off a direct-to-DVD video.
I can kind of agree with that. Everybody's very good at their jobs. Like it's a case of everybody seems to be good at what they're doing, but the pieces look like pieces and not part of a whole that come together well. Mm-hmm. And that could be an editing issue. It could be a writing issue. It could have been a combination of all of it. I can't put that all on the director, but the performance choices, I certainly can. Because that's his job, is to pull out what he wants from those actors. And there are times where it's like, wow, you guys aren't really in the gravity of this situation, are you?
Yeah. It was stuff like with the nail gun, where it was very pedestrian how it was shot. And you couldn't really see much a lot of the time. And there would be other directors who would make something like that nail gun really awesome. And it was just kind of there.
And maybe that could be budget as well.
Yeah. I think maybe, you could have had more explosiveness onto whatever it made contact with, those demons, and see more effect there. But, the makeup effects establishing the demons looks, and then they didn't do much else after that.
$10 million, I was reading.
Yes, that is correct. Clearly didn't get a theatrical release either, though, because it had a worldwide gross of only $64,000. So it would have been just a limited, probably one day release or whatever, just to say it had a theatrical and then went directly to DVD.
I imagine that there might be more answers to be found on the commentary for the remake, but initially it was announced as something that would be theatrical. And I think it was at some sort of festival where they were talking about how it was going to be released theatrically the following year. And then it wasn't, and then it was delayed, and then eventually it was only video. So I kind of wonder what the thought process was, because on name alone, that movie would have brought in more than $64,000.
Well, I don't know about that, but it probably would have, $20 million off of this movie wouldn't have been hard to do. It's not like Shannon and Elizabeth wasn't sellable at that point. You use the star from Jason versus Freddy. You actually say that on your advertising. You could have got 35, 40, maybe 60 million out of this without even trying too hard. You could probably have done that in a couple of weekends.
Yeah, and even Edward Furlong would have still brought some asses to seats.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm sure what happened was they probably had a distribution deal with one of the studios, and they saw the end product and went, no, fuck, we're not doing this.
Yeah, sometimes it's a case of audience reaction to it. Could have been just scheduling. It's like, oh, we don't really have room. We got better stuff we can put out.
Yeah.
I feel like you really have to be into trashy 2000s culture to really dig the remake, I think.
Oh, see, I felt... very 90s when I was watching this movie.
I have to agree with Trish.
Grunginess.
I mean, I agree that there are some parts of it that are really super cringy, but on the whole, I still enjoyed it more than I enjoyed the original. And maybe it was because I enjoyed the soundtrack just a little bit more, and the acting was just that little bit better.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the music as well. Acting,
I mean,
the acting,
typo negative.
Yeah, the acting was a little bit better. I mean, right away, it's wraparound too. No costume, no candy.
I love that. Yeah. That might have been my favorite scene in the whole movie, actually.
Yeah, there were just more sequences that entertained me per se, but I do think when you're disingenuous and you're trying to make a bad movie, you're trying to make a good intentional bad movie and based off of what the original one was and trying to accentuate his flaws but still do it better. And that's a tricky line to do. Mm-hmm. You're either honest about it or you're not. And if you're trying too hard to be that, there's a reason why horror comedies are most of them fail and only a few stand out, because it's really a hard line to balance.
Yeah.
If this movie leaned further away from dude awesome, and then more into comedy, it would have been a more successful movie.
Honestly,
the other way.
I'm with Sam here. I was just about to say that as well, is if they would have, you have that original. You could, and they didn't stray too far from the conceit of the original, but if you would have just gone heavy into the darkness, it's like Evil Dead did. Let's just take out the humor and just go full bore gross and possession and horribleness. I think I would have enjoyed the ride more, to be honest.
Yeah, fair. And I think it would have been far more enjoyable as a straight up horror as well. Although I think that they could have had a little bit of lightness at the beginning just to make the darkness at the end more dark. And that could have balanced it out as well, right? So you have your comedy and lightness at the beginning, like they usually do in a horror movie.
I mean, it gets darker. It does gradually get stupider and stupider as it goes along. And when she throws herself off the window, I'm like, oh, this is good. Like the only way out of the, because that's part of the lore of the house in the remake is that 1918 party, and the hostess had to throw herself out of the window and hang herself, and it beheaded her. And I'm like, oh, are they going to do this again? And then she just faked it, and then the whole demons are stupid line.
Demons. Not so smart.
That was so dumb.
It was
dumb. Yeah.
Although I was thinking, though, when she jumped off, I was like, that does not look like someone who's been hanged. Your head doesn't flop forward.
No.
There's something going on.
Yeah. I was kind of clued into, and I'm like, oh, I don't think this is what I think it is.
Oh, I knew it wasn't what they wanted me to think it was, but
yeah, I didn't think the movie had enough balls to do it, and it didn't.
And I didn't care.
No,
I think the only kind of highlight of this movie where it did something I thought was actually kind of clever is where the demons trick them into thinking that it's sunrise, and they're like, oh, it's light out, we can go downstairs.
Although,
and then Edward Furlong throws the beer bottle out the window, and they're like, nope, still night, crap.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, how? But yeah, at the same time, and I saw it coming too. At least they tried to do something clever.
Yeah.
And the whole bodies in the cellar thing, I thought that was reasonably clever as well. Like I said, they undid it later, but the idea was good.
There's a lot of good ideas. Like the 1920s recreation footage was pretty good sometimes, but then other times it was completely not, you know?
Yeah, I thought the initial setup with that silent film kind of worked. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then when they did it again, it was less effective for some reason.
Yeah, see, I think it's because there wasn't that little audio card in it that said, this is what the person is saying. Yeah, no, I don't know. That was kind of my least favorite part.
Yeah.
I mean, watching the right movie when I started it? And I'm like, oh, wait, I am watching the right movie.
And he opens his eyes and it's a different color.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's
that was ripped right out of Supernatural.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, the remake felt like if a director who had done episodes of Supernatural had his first chance to do an R-rated movie.
Yeah,
and you know what? That's exactly it, Jeff. That really is genuinely exactly it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
I get to show some boobs. Yay! Yeah,
it's like R.L. Stein writing an adult novel. It's just him being like, "Ooh, I can write a sex scene for a chapter." So he fondled her boob softly.
Written by somebody who's never touched a boob.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah,
Actually,
no.
Yeah.
I've heard the word fondle. I don't know what it entails, but we'll just do that. So funny. I would, but when you say supernatural director, all I can imagine is like going, Jensen Ackles, where's my Jensen Ackles?
Oh, man. You know, if Jensen Ackles was in the remake, it would have been so much more of a palatable movie.
Yeah, it'd been instead they got Edward Furlong.
Yeah, you know, it really sucks that the most charismatic actor in your movie is generally the least charismatic actor in other movies.
Are you talking about Shannon Elizabeth or Edward Furlong?
No, Edward Furlong.
I mean, it could go either way, Jeff.
It could go either way. Yeah. I guess I could be talking about anyone in that movie.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, with that, I can't think of a better setup to run the trailer for the 2009.
Something's not right.
Did you see those things?
What the fuck was that?
Those things are demons.
They're scared of me.
We have to get the fuck out of here.
We're stuck in a closet.
Not a closet, it's a fucking pantry.
I think the thing wanted to fuck me.
Ew. No costume, no candy, motherfucker!
Yes. We're the only thing standing between them and the end of the world. That's awesome.
Come and get me, motherfuckers.
Night of the Demons, 2009. Screenplay was by Jace Anderson and Adam Girash. Directed by Adam Girash, who directed Autopsy, a segment from Tales of Halloween. And he was actually an actor in the remake of The Toolbox Murders.
Well, the Tales
That's a shame they remade that.
Well, they're going to remake everything.
Which is why we're never going away.
Exactly. That's why we're here.
That's Although right. I was saying right before we watched this movie that there is a lot of movies that I've seen on the DVD shelf at various stores and thought, oh man, they remade this movie in 2009. Mm. Yeah, I'm never going to watch that. But yet I watch it because of the show.
This movie stars Tatiana Kanavaka as Evangeline. She was actually at the beginning in that silent film. Michael Arada, who's in Odd Thomas. He was also in that bit. Shannon Elizabeth was Angela. And of course, we've talked about her in episode 240.
Fairly recently in 13 Ghosts.
That's right.
Well, you guys did. I wasn't there. Damn it.
Oh, yeah. That's sad. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one's really good.
Yeah.
If this had been done like 13 Ghosts, again, a little better.
Linnea Quigley made a cameo appearance as the ballerina lady. So she does her iconic pose in the ballerina outfit. Same outfit, does the bend over.
Might have even been the same panties.
Might have even been the same panties. I don't know. I'm trying not to think about it.
There's a lot of, there's a certain subsection of horror fans that I'm always reminded exists where that's like their thing. They're like, yeah.
Now, before you go too far, Jane, I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you when you're doing casting, but I do want to ask a question. Mm-hmm. Why were those two little girls leering when she did the bend over?
I don't know. That was so upsetting.
It was really,
the whole scene was upsetting.
Yes.
Maybe those little girls were gay and they're like going, this is like, oh, this is something that
this is their moment. And
their jam is 60-year-old ladies who think they're 20.
Yeah.
And you know, if that is, hey, by all means, but did it fit the rest of the movie in the scene? No, it did not.
No, it did not.
No, it did not.
John F. Beach was Jason. Nice name. He was in Tales of Halloween. Michael Capone was Dex. Come on. Everybody in their 30s knows who this dude is because he was the Blue Power Ranger.
Yay him.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. I wasn't.
You could have used some of those
Power
skills.
You weren't allowed to watch Power Rangers?
Yeah, it was too violent. But I was allowed to watch Batman.
What?
Okay. All right. I don't get that one at all.
No.
I think Batman was more violent than Power Rangers.
I think everybody's parent has that one oddly specific rule that only their parent had. And I think that Power Rangers might have been that one for me.
Maybe. I was already too old by the time Power Rangers came along, so.
Ditto.
I didn't want to watch it.
Yay, him.
Yeah. Deora Baird was Lily. She's actually can currently be seen in Cobra Kai on Netflix. Monica Keena was Maddie. Of course, she was the star of Freddy vs. Jason. Bobby Sue Luther was Suzanne. She was in the Poughkeepsie Tapes. Edward Furlong was Colin. You best know him from Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Jamie Harris was Nigel, and you can currently see him in Carnival Row. Tiffany Shepis is in here as well as Diana. You can see her in literally everything.
She has such a big body of work.
Yes.
And it's all bit roles like this.
Yes. But we do actually have a bit of her in our HorrorCon coverage. We got to record her panel, and you can listen to that in episode 157. And then Hans Longo was Hans. They couldn't even bother to rename him. And that's your cast for Night of the Demons 2009.
One thing I did appreciate about both these films is they did tend to have slightly larger sort of core casts for like these horror slasher kind of films. Cause usually you only have like, especially now, you usually have like three or four, and it doesn't give you a lot of room to play. Whereas they had a good eight or nine people to play with, and that does make it more interesting.
And yet there was no characterization to any of them.
Unfortunately, and that maybe that was the problem, is they had too many, and then and that's where you lose out.
Yeah. Now, I kind of made this connection of demonic possession as an allegory for STDs because of how the possession is transmitted through kissing, fucking, and biting.
Biting that draws blood is a thing.
Well, lots of things through Jay, saliva.
You're giving the writers for these movies way too much credit.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
But I like where you're going with it. If we were remaking it, absolutely that would be where we would go. I totally agree. But way too much credit.
Mm-hmm. Like it would be an interesting movie for David Cronenberg earlier in his career to attack.
It would have been so much better.
It would have been so much better, but I mean, it was done so much better with It Follows anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was...
But I thought about how it's transmitted, I'm like, through contact, and it sounds like through semen and spit. They just don't explain it very well enough. I'm like, a skeleton bites somebody. It's like, well, obviously there's no saliva left. So
no.
It's kind of like zombie virus.
It's just contact of some sort.
Yeah. What bothered me is like she gets like there's a cut on her hand from like a really old skeleton in the basement. And everybody seems to think, oh, no, it's just a cut. It's fine. I'm sorry, but if you cut yourself on something really dirty, I'm automatically thinking tetanus, infection. It doesn't fucking matter what it is. I'm like, oh, crap, I need to see a doctor.
Also, everyone is super blasé about a skeleton just biting her hand of its own accord. There's reflexes. Sometimes skeletons do that.
Yeah, after decades and centuries.
I think Trish is actually trying to tell us that nobody actually got possessed. It was just like rabies and tetanus.
Yes.
I'm kind of with Trish on that, actually.
Get vaccinated.
Because, no saliva in there, as I think you said, Jay, but that's like undoes everything that happens after it. Lots of undoings in this movie, including like bras and corsets and all kinds of under stuff.
There's not actually as much nudity in the remake as you would think. Like there's more in the original than there is in the remake. And there's not even that much in the original. You think there is, but it really isn't a lot.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's just that what there is really there.
Impactful.
Oh, yeah.
It's not impactful at all.
You see everything of Linnea.
Yeah. It's gratuitous and that's fine. I mean, it's fine if you want to do that, especially in the 80s, that was a thing. And I think they were trying to avoid that with the remake, to be fair. There was still some gratuitous nudity, but that degenerated into something really, really uncomfortable.
Really gross and unnecessary. Like when she's pulling that lipstick out of her vagina and there's just blood everywhere. And I'm like going, yeah, no, why? There's just a lot happening. I don't know. Was that somebody saying that periods are gross? I don't know.
No, it was somebody saying we need more gore. We need to make people more uncomfortable. And it worked. Yeah. It was one of the only scene in the whole movie that made me uncomfortable.
Well, I could see everything gathering under that countertop that she was sitting on, but not through the front. So I just thought she was just bleeding out of her ass, if I'm honest with you.
See a doctor.
Well, considering that she was supposedly raped up the ass by her boyfriend.
Yeah,
maybe.
Probably. There we go.
Because there was that whole bit where she said, well, if you're going to go there, I'm going to, and then the scream, right? So yeah. I mean, you're assuming that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. yeah, I guess that tear and then that infection happened.
Yeah, I mean, there is that also problematic line earlier where the guy's like, oh, that guy dresses the devil. He's just waiting for her to pass out.
Right.
Oh, yeah, later, that was,
when she says,
again,
oh, please,
totally cringe.
I've had too much to drink. I need to stop. She's like, you don't need to stop. You haven't had too much to drink. She's like, I think I need, it's like, no, you're fine. It's like, ooh, that's sad. You can tell that a guy wrote this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, there was some very cringy stuff in here.
But when they're like spinning around and they're not on the ground, I'm like going, oh yeah, no, why doesn't she just vomit? Because that seems about the point where you would.
Yeah.
If you're still a little drunk and somebody's spinning you around, you have to vomit.
True.
I'm guessing they already blew their budget on fluids.
You know, I actually was thinking about this. And I think one thing that's really interesting to compare between the two movies is when the first one was made, the licensing for the music probably wasn't that much money, but the licensing for the music for the remake was probably substantially higher budget-wise. And I wonder if that's part of the $10 million budget price tag.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you had they used that Concrete Blonde song twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had Typo Negative. They had that 45 Grave song from the original movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a cover, though. It wasn't the original artist on that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that wasn't Bauhaus on that one, I don't think.
I think that the end theme for the original movie was 45 Grave.
Oh, maybe I'm mixing them up.
Wrong,
but,
though.
Yeah, but the Bauhaus song that Angela was dancing to, they used the same song, but I think it was a cover.
Oh, yeah,
In the remake. Because it definitely wasn't Daniel Ash's voice.
No, no. Yeah, good soundtrack, actually. If there's one thing we can recommend, even if you don't want to watch the movies, is check out both the soundtracks if you're into goth music of different eras.
Yeah, goth and punk, there's a little bit. There's quite a bit of punk in the original, and there's a little bit in the remake for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was my favorite bits of both the movies, was definitely the music.
Yeah. Oh, can I please talk about the punks in the first one?
Yeah.
Because
what if I said no?
Then I wouldn't talk about them.
Well, yeah, okay, you can talk about them.
I found it funny that they had sort of like all the punk trappings on the cars and stuff like that, but none of them really looked like punk rockers, except for maybe Angela. Like that's all I wanted to say was how not punk they looked. It looked like somebody went, okay, I've got some actors. Let me try and make them look punk.
Sam, it was Halloween. Maybe they were punks and dressing as normal people.
Or what if they were normal people dressing as punks?
Oh, yeah.
Either way, it was a fail.
Although I will say, still better punk costumes than Stranger Things Season 2.
Oh.
Okay, I'll give you that. By a small margin, but yeah.
Okay, in the first movie, I have a question. The guy with the pig nose and the girl he's always picking on.
Stooge.
Were they a thing? Stooge. Yeah, were they a thing or what? Because like, that was a terrible relationship. And she ends up leaving with Roger and then just dying off screen.
That was never really made clear, I don't think. I think that Stooge was trying to get with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, I couldn't understand why she was in a car with him at all.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me either, but I think that Stooge was supposed to be sort of that skeevy, I want to get laid and I'll fuck anything that will say yes.
Yeah, he's the Animal House character.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Jessica in Rick and Morty when she gets the Morty flu and then she's just like waving her butt at him because she wants to have sex. It's like, that's all it was. She's just like, waving my butt at anything.
I think that she was the one he thought he had the best chance with. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's
and
all.
How is that's it the most reprehensible character in the film of Sal winds up being the most heroic one?
Yeah, that one was that was a quick turn.
That was a choice. That was a weird choice to make him. But I guess they kind of did that with the Colin character as well. Like he makes it nearly to the end, which is unusual for a movie of this type.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they wanted a redemption arc, but didn't understand the arc part of it. So it's more of like a redemption acute angle.
That's about it. That really is about it. And when I finished watching the first one, I texted Jay and I says, oh, there's kind of a progressive ending there. It's a bad one, but it was kind of progressive where they had not only two people surviving, but they completely whitewashed the remake. Whereas in the original, they did have a black character, a black character. So, and he survives. Which
that was one thing we talked about too. Crazy. I mean,
it was weird that he was very much of a coward type character, but constantly running away and not helping people for most of it. But yeah, it was very progressive. Well, I mean, by 88, they should have been better at this. But yeah, they did whitewash the remake. Yeah, that's too bad because they had an Asian character and a black character in the original.
Yeah. They totally did. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, the character was not well written like most of the characters in the original.
Yeah,
and certainly he was a coward and really, and didn't really deserve to survive because of his characterization that he did get. But conceptually, it was reasonably progressive for the time.
See, in my instance, I was thinking that, like, no, he does deserve to survive because he seems to be the one person that, like, as an audience surrogate, you're like, get the fuck out of the house. So he gets the fuck out of the house.
Yeah, it's true. I totally agree with that.
It's a good point. Yeah, he's the mirror, right? He's the one that you go, hey, that's what I would do.
Yep.
He's on the top of the fence and he has to give her a hand up.
I actually thought he and that other girl left. Like, and then we see him sleeping in the car. I'm like, where did the girl go?
Oh, it's because they're looking for the gate and there's no gate. Like, the gate disappears.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. It wasn't clear. And then something comes and grabs her and he can't find her. And that's sort of what happens. And they just kill her off screen and just dispose of her on the car. And that's it.
Yeah. When she lands on the car, I almost forgot about those characters and then the girl lands. I was like, oh, he's sleeping in the car. Where did she go? Boom.
Right?
Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Almost. That is a great way to bring them back.
My reaction to it was funnier than what was happening on screen because I was kind of reacting to it. What happened to that character? Huh? There she is. We found her.
just as you asked the question, they answer.
It was good timing. I'm like, that was unintentionally funny, but it worked with my internal monologue at the time.
Nice.
One thing I will say that I was thinking early on when I was watching the remake is, first off, I was thinking when they were having the big house party, and it's like, okay, this is kind of interesting. They're going to do what they did in the original one, but this time it's in a packed house party. And obviously they didn't do that.
No.
That might have been a more interesting concept, to just go with the house party and have the demons show up.
Yeah,
right. It'd be kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, bigger bloodbath rather than have the cops show up and shut it down. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. But I guess that was their version of, okay, we got a rager, cops are shutting it down. Honestly, this was the batteries dying in the original movie. Yeah. That's what that was. It's trying to rejigger the beats. And much like they had the makeshift flamethrower, which was just as ridiculous as your little rusty nail gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, they would have died if she'd done that.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, they'd all be dead now.
Let's fill this entire area with gas.
In the basement. Yeah.
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
There's lots of ridiculous about these both movies. I mean, as Jay says, neither of these movies is good.
It lost me fairly early when they're staring into the mirror with the seance. That's what resurrects the demon. And then the mirror kind of gently crashes to the ground.
It really does.
It looks like somebody kind of gently pushed it off screen.
And it seems to be like, okay, we've got this one mirror we can work with. So there's padding underneath that we can't just make it crash.
Yeah, we can't break it yet. Wait till we have exactly the right shot. Then you can break it.
Yeah.
Or no, we'll just do it and we'll do this take a number of times. Then we'll add in glass later.
Yeah. Like, no, we got to return this to the store.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Boy. Do you got the receipt?
Well, what was it I was reading that, like, this whole the old house in the original, they're like, not a lot of set design required because it was pretty gross already.
Yeah, no, it sounded like it was a dilapidated, probably due for demolition type of house.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, they did that with Session 9 too. Was it Session 9? Apparently there was almost no set deck required because that was what it looked like.
Yeah, that's got to be creepy when you're just going in and you're like, oh, wow, the set decorators did a great job. No, they didn't.
I shot one of our student films in this hallway, and I think another production had gone in there to dirty it up, but it was gross. We all had to wear, like, masks and stuff because we weren't sure if it was paint or black mold. It was gross, but it looked fantastic on screen.
Nice.
Yeah, the things you do for your craft, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Or in this case, I don't know what it is, but it's not craft. It's something else.
I don't know. For the first one, I would recommend, if we're talking like, I would say watch the bit with the lipstick and the boob. I have to say it is very impressive. I did enjoy it.
It was impressive in both films. Like for 1988, you really couldn't tell that was a molded boob.
No, not at all. And like the smoothness with which everything happened, mm-hmm. it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
And they did a great job recreating it in the remake.
True.
Before making it gross.
Yes. Yeah. If they just left it with that, it wasn't fine.
Yeah. The scene just was like, No.
And there's another bit in the original where that guy's arm that's gotten cut off because from the coffin, it comes up and grabs her on the leg. I thought that was actually decently done.
That was. I agree with you on that. It was very Evil Dead, but and I loved it. These things were referencing Evil Dead anyhow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I that was really slick. And probably one of the better thought out scenes in the movie.
One thing that was wild in that remake that they just did over and over and over again was that, you know, shaking your head back and forth transformation.
Yeah.
You know, like, ooh, I'm a demon. Ooh, I'm a human now.
Yeah, it was Shannon Elizabeth right at the standing at the edge of the door with all the words and stuff, the spells keeping her out. And yeah, she changed like three times, I think, in that scene alone.
Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of 13 Ghosts with Shannon Elizabeth, where they did that kind of a lot, that kind of shaking, weird movement type of deal with a lot of the ghosts.
Yeah, but they did it to better effect in that movie for sure.
True, true. But yeah, I was like going, yeah, she can't be in a movie where that doesn't happen. I don't know what's happening.
Well, that's a way if you're shaking and you can edit it in a way so you're bringing the makeup up and you don't have to break the transition. But it didn't look as good here.
What I'm saying is like Shannon Elizabeth has to be in movies where people shake and transform. That's what I couldn't understand. What's going on with your career, Shannon? That's very specific.
Maybe that's why there's not too many roles for her.
Ooh, that's mean.
Oh. Accurate. But mean.
I was really excited when I saw she was in this, mainly because of 13 Ghosts.
It took me a couple of minutes to figure out who she was, actually, when she was just, they sort of introduced her and she's talking for a bit. I'm like, oh, hell, that's who that is.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because she's famous for flashing her tits and she probably had the smallest set on set. She was, she's still very attractive. She's probably like the oldest one in that cast, though. Like, we were talking about how they're all teenagers. I think they're supposed to be teenagers in the first one. Linnea Quigley definitely couldn't pull off a teenager. She was already looking too old to be a teenager. This one, it was a little more ambiguous. So I would have said, I think everybody was supposed to be in their 20s.
Oh, in the remake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just assumed everybody was in their early 30s.
Yeah, your lead actress there of Monica Keena, it was 30 at the time. So,
That said, though, the costumes really aged them up. Like the cat costumes they were wearing really made them look like they were 40.
Yeah, there's something about the cat costume that makes you think, oh, somebody's desperately trying to hang on to their youth. That's the problem with those costumes.
It really is, yeah. And I will say the zombie costume, Jay was saying the zombie girl. I'm like, what zombie girl? And it took me like 5 minutes to figure out that he was talking about the same person because I didn't see her as a zombie. I thought she was just like some mom who's gotten a fight because she didn't look like a zombie. Yeah. She looked like somebody with a little bit of blood on her face and some ripped up jeans.
Yeah.
And I think she ripped just in front of her boobs.
I just assumed she was supposed to be a zombie, but maybe she got run over on the way to the party. I don't know what she was going for.
I think it was zombie, but at several points in the movie, I was looking at her costume and I was thinking, was that a result of the movie or is that a result of the costume?
Right?
Yes.
Is that blood hers or is that something that just happened?
There was some great continuity because I actually watched for that and the blood from her costume never changed. Even after she got all the other blood on her, she always had the exact blood that she had in her costume. So I will give them credit for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of blood, this was probably one of the things that irritated me the most in the movie when the walls start bleeding.
Yeah.
Mm.
And this is the house trying to erase or make the spells keeping the demons out of the room go away. And they're trying to find a pen to rewrite the spell. Well, one, you don't know, unless you've memorized all the walls, you're not going to know what that is. Two, have you tried to write on a wet piece of paper?
Yeah.
Like, it's your pen doesn't want to work.
Yeah.
And, they're using charcoal from a fireplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which probably wouldn't have worked either. It was baffling to me, the whole that whole scene of like, this is dumb. It was a neat setup. It was like, okay, we got, this is a way to get them out of the room, not keep them there. Like, it was, oh, this was a good idea, and then you ruined it by this stupid thing of trying to rewrite the words. There's no way. There was like, all the walls were dripping.
Yeah.
And no, if it's no already way. Out, you don't know what you're feeling. Like, if you can see it before, like, oh, the blood's coming down, you can, might be able to fill it in. But that's just a specific part of the wall that you're actually looking at any given time. You can't.
It's like a pre-production level problem. You can't have something that looks very arcane and very occultic that somebody could just do easily, because inherently it would be something that would require study.
Okay, I am going to say something, Jeff. Thank you for bringing that up. You said it looked arcane and occultish. It did not. It looked like a two-year-old did it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that's what it was supposed to be like.
It was supposed to be, yes.
It was supposed to be that.
It was supposed to be like the person who did it was probably listening to a lot of metal albums.
It's something like that. But yeah, no, it did not evoke occultism to me in any way. I'm like,
it's like a couple of teenagers like did occultism off of YouTube.
Yeah. It's like people who are like, oh, let's be edgy and do an occult ceremony in the cemetery, and they're just like making it all up, which maybe is more occultic. Who knows.
I kind of like the whole biting off the face thing. That was kind of cool.
That was awesome. And there was a great one-liner there. That's not Stephanie. Stephanie has a face. Love that line.
Oh, yes. I really did like that.
I'm still not sure about the boob tentacles. Where did this come from? This is so weird.
Her boobs.
Well, yeah, tentacles were a weak effect.
Yeah.
I had a whole new name for them, to tentacles.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Well, some of them were coming from her costume.
Yeah, maybe it was supposed to be extension off of her costume, but it was supposed to be a cat girl, so...
Yeah, so a cat, it doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, her boobs were exposed, like, as her demon being, as it were, the whole time. I mean, they kept them covered by her hair for the most part.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that they were intended to be part of her, and there were definitely two tentacles.
Yeah, and she was meant to be the Linnea Quigley, where, you know, she had opened up to do that little boob thing, and then for the rest of the movie, they're nearly hanging out. I think that's what they were going for.
I don't know. Jinx, you owe me a beer.
Oh boy. This is one of those movies, folks. And I don't say the word folks lightly.
Yeah, no, it is an I don't know movie, because both of them had moments that were really enjoyable, but as a cohesive whole, not so much either of them.
No, these were like, for me, there was so little for me to enjoy. Like, I could have just watched them as like 3-minute YouTube clips, and those would have entertained me.
Yep.
But watching this is an hour and a half in either film. And we've been doing a horror movie every single day for the month of October for our 31 Days of Horror challenge. And so far, like, I'd not seen either one of these, and I'm not including them on my list, so don't worry. But this was the worst thing I've watched this month so far.
Ooh, I feel bad for you. I mean, I feel good for you. I'm happy for you.
Yes.
I feel bad for me.
Oh, I've had a really good run so far.
For the first year ever, I dived out of a movie.
Oh, that's only happened to me once so far since we started covering it on the show.
One of mine, I did that yesterday.
I did one yesterday too.
I did mine yesterday, I think.
We're grown-ups and we can leave when we want to.
Yes, that's right. But I'm getting mad at my Facebook because they're showing me movie posters from another previous 31 Days of Horror challenge from 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I did it before I was on Facebook. So, God damn it. I've been doing this way too long, and no wonder why my mind's so broken.
You're too old for this shit.
I'm really happy with my list so far, so I can't wait to share it with you guys in November. Because, I mean, it could all go to shit today, tonight, and who knows.
You never know. We're about halfway.
Yeah, so far things have shaped up pretty damn good so far.
Awesome.
That's
so good.
I know. I'm so far really impressed, and the only one I gave a low grade, I still enjoy it, so.
Wow.
Man. I'd say that, yeah, for there's only been a couple winners for me so far.
Oh, no. Well, that sometimes the bad ones are better to talk about, so I can't wait for us to do this. I always enjoy that. And hey, if our audience is doing the 31 Days of Horror Challenge with us, please send us your lists right away as soon as you've finished. And the sooner you get it to us, the better chance you'll have for your list to be read on those specials in November.
Oh, yeah, and if you do it, too, tag us on Instagram if you're posting about the movies that you're watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Xavier, who's always followed with us every year, he's been tagging me and Sam, letting us know what he's been watching. And actually, I think he's been tagging Trish as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's great to see what everybody's watching. So if you're doing that, and don't be afraid to do it on Twitter as well, and tag it to @InvasionRemake or myself, @JBishop616.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the Twitter this year. I'm saving it all. Just because, to be honest with you, I don't have time or the energy. Yeah. I'm spending so much time on social media right now that I need the break.
Yes. Well, that's because you are the front man for all the horror. And you're coordinating a ton of podcasts that are dropping every single day of October. Kind of using my easy idea of watching a horror movie and doing something really difficult of trying to coordinate podcasts to drop every single day.
Yes.
You insane freak.
Yes, but it's so much fun.
Yes. Yeah. And tell people where they can find the fun. Where's the central hub for this so they can see what they've missed and maybe play catch up and see what's on the schedule for the rest of the month?
So the central site is allthehorror18.wixsite.com/event.
And on that site, you can see a store button, and that store will take you to their T Public store, and 100% of the proceeds will go to Scares That Care.
Yes, yes, they will.
A very worthwhile charity, and there's some great designs that you can wear on your face or your chest. Yeah.
Or a mug or a wall poster. That would be really cool. Stickers, everything. Anything that we get a dollar for, that dollar goes to Scares That Care.
And I actually just found out that the notebooks that you can get, they are lined and unlined, and they don't make terrible sketchbooks. So,
Good. Is that a new product? I didn't even know those were there.
Yeah, I think that just the notebook one that's been on there for a while, you can have the option to select it on unlined paper.
Very notebooks are cool. Great. Very awesome. Cool. That'd be good for us just because we always have to take notes.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
If you too have a podcast that you need to take notes for, go get a notebook from the All the Horror store, or you can do it from our store. And you can find the link to our websites on any of our social medias, @InvasionRemake on Twitter, Invasion of the Remake on Facebook and Instagram, and invasionoftheremake@gmail.com. If you want to email us your suggestions, your corrections, your comments. Sam, what is the web address for our website where the people can find all of our back catalog as well as the link to our store?
You mean the place where they can find all 250 plus episodes?
Yeah, that place.
That place. Okay. It is invasionoftheremake.wixsite.com/podcast.
Awesome. And there's a little store button on every single page that'll take you to our TeePublic store where we will keep all of that money and recycle it back into the expenses that go into producing this show. So every penny does go into supporting and keeping this show going for another 250 plus episodes. But there's cool shit there. There's some really cool shit. If you're doing the 31 Days of Horror Challenge with us, there are three wonderful designs and several different styles of shirts you can get for I Survived 31 Days of Horror, as well as masks and posters and mugs and apparently notebooks as well. I kind of want one now. I've been told that. So lots
of cool
stuff.
Just took a quick look. And yeah, you can get our stuff with notebooks too. So awesome.
And the notebooks actually look really cool with the graphics on them.
Yeah, you can get hardcover or spiral.
Excellent. Well, that's some quality product from Invasion of the Remake. Okay, guys, we still got more All the Horror. We're only halfway through. We got some guests coming in next week for, I'm not going to tell you. Actually, that is our last one. Now that I think about it, that's our last one. But man, we're not done. We still got lots of horror for you, as well as our 31 Days of Horror. But next week, we got some guests coming in to help us remake a classic. You're going to love that episode. We may have even name-dropped the director of that episode during this episode.
Ooh.
Hints.
Go back and listen again.
It's like the Astro Boy. What were the problems with Astro Boy's report? Did you ever play that?
No. Oh.
Okay, it's just me. All right.
I don't remember it, if anything.
Okay, if you know what I'm talking about, please respond to us at invasionoftheremake@gmail.com.
Yeah, Pixar didn't happen.
All right, well, we'll be back next week with something we're going to remake. Until then, I've been Jason.
I am always Sam.
I continue to be Trish.
And I always return as Jeff Omega.
And we are out of here.
You can't come in here. The spells on the walls keep you out.
Oh, there are ways. There are always ways.
Ew.
You still have a thing for him, don't you? I have a thing for him, too. I'm gonna poke his pretty brown eyes out and fuck his brains out until they're spilling out of his ears. And right before he takes his last gasp, right before he becomes one of us,
he shall know the place where ecstasy and suffering become one.
Shut up, bitch.